Do you want to know the full story behind the Menendez brothers? How about the accused Gilgo Beach serial killer or Candy Montgomery? On our Killer Destinations podcast, we immediately jump right to the story. I'm Kathy.
And I'm Kathy. And just like you, we are obsessed with all things true crime. We're also lifelong friends. And on our Killer Destinations podcast, we tell the best stories and dive deep for all the interesting details.
We also intersperse occasional humor and have a little fun along the way. But we never forget that we're talking about real people and real families.
Listen to Killer Destinations every Tuesday for your true crime fix.
Dear Lord,
I think it was with me.
Y'all make everything so complicated. Straight people, I don't know how they planned anything before us gays came out of the closet.
Hey, I know what I'm doing.
Let's see, I already covered Jesus's foreskin. I just found so hilarious. Let's see. I think I used all of my jokes, too.
You used up all your jokes?
Yeah.
Not one joke.
Just you. Trying to think. I just wrote this, finished it yesterday. You think I'd remember what it was about? Yeah.
What is the one thing in Colorado you guys are looking forward to do?
Get real stoned. Get real stoned and see a mountain.
I'm looking forward to going to Estes Park again.
Yeah, I am too.
I've only ever been there one other time, and that was when we all went there for the national park. But I did see, because I was trying to figure out like the charging situation, and I saw that the chargers for Tesla is at the Stanley.
Oh, nice. That's convenient. Yes. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So they actually have the supercharger to the Stanley, but Stanley also, if you're staying at the hotel, you can charge overnight. So if we're staying there the night before we go up into the park, we can just fully charge there.
Is there any chargers in the park?
No, but we wouldn't need them because we can fully charge before we enter the park, and that will be plenty.
I haven't really looked up anything to do there yet. I learned years ago to not get my hopes up about things, so I'm like, I'll look like a few days before when I know it's cemented in stone.
Yeah, but that's what one thing that we do need to do is set those dates and stuff in stone. That way I can let my dog sitter know for the time, and that way we can decide what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Because Shane and I actually talked about going to, on the way back or to, I don't know how we want to do it, but we might go to Mount Rushmore in the Badlands and Devil's Tower because they're kind of all right there together. So we might as well hit them all while we're, you know, taking that extra couple days.
Yeah. I'd like to go see Mount Rushmore, pay my respects and condolences to the indigenous tribes who it was stolen from and defaced for all of eternity.
I've always wanted to go because the last trip that I got to take the girls on before Amber passed away, we were supposed to go to Tennessee. My van broke down, couldn't go. And so I borrowed a car and we went to Little Nashville, Indiana, went down to Brown County. Okay. And I told the girls, I said, the next time we go on a vacation, we'll go anywhere you want to go. And Amber says, can we go to that place that's got the dead presidents on the side of the mountain?
Aww.
And I said, are you talking about Mount Rushmore? She's like, yeah, that's it. And I always sworn that I just have to go. Go see it just because that's what she wanted, you know.
I had a resident who honeymooned there when they were still carving it.
Really?
She said you could buy at all the gift shops. They had baskets of rocks that were dynamited off.
Oh,
that's awesome. Hey, look. Yeah, I think it'd be really cool to see. Yeah, I think it'd be really neat to see. And all the pictures of the Badlands that I've seen is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think, if I'm not wrong, I probably am, though, there's a petrified forest not far from there. I might be wrong.
I don't know. Where was the one that you went to was in California, wasn't it?
What national park would you like to see the most?
The Redwoods, of course, but I think Yellowstone.
I think the Tetons aren't too far from around there, too. Yeah, I think Yellowstone would probably be.
I want to see Old Faithful and all the critters, that I'm smart enough to stay away from people. God, God, every other day, especially now that it's, you know, the weather's nice. You just see tourists going up to a freaking buffalo thinking they're Snow White. And, oh, I'm just going to get a picture. And then they get trampled, which is hilarious. And they deserve every little bit of that hoof on their back.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, leave it to a wild animal.
Right.
I think one of the prettiest parks I went to, you know, of course I loved the Redwoods, was also Yosemite.
Oh, yeah.
That one was way prettier than what I even imagined. Like, I thought it was going to be a cool park to go to, but it was just like, oh, wow, like, this is a lot prettier than what I pictured it to be.
There's really, I mean, any national park
I'd love to go to. I love national parks.
You haven't been to Yellowstone, have you?
No, I was supposed to go, but they had that flooding that wiped out the road.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
When I was supposed to go there. Yeah. I also really liked the one in Oregon.
Crater Lake.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. That's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that really surprised me is when I was in Florida, because I was like, you know, I had a free day and I thought, I wonder like if I can find a national park to go to that's close by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the National Seashore, but there's just beaches there. And there's not really big national parks there.
Everglades.
It really surprised me.
The Everglades National Park?
Yeah, but it wasn't close to me.
No, that's wasn't still, close what, to me. 3 or 4 hours from you?
Probably.
3 hours
from you. And who wants to go there? Swampy snakes.
Alligators.
Mosquitoes. Mm-mm. Pythons.
Mosquitoes are probably the size of your head.
Gross. That would be the one I would be like, I don't really need to go to the Everglades.
Stay in the car.
That's where the snakes live.
We did remember, Josh, that when Kim and I were in Denver last time, we found this really cool like thing that you can drive through. And it's
like an audio tour
safari
type thing. Yeah, it's kind of a safari.
Oh yeah,
type
you
thing.
Was telling me about that.
Yeah,
it's
we'll
not
have
an audio
to do that.
Tour, though.
No,
it's like you just drive through it, and it's like on the outskirts of the
you've
city.
You've never been to Denver, right? You've never been. So the thing that I could not get over in Denver is the prairie dogs. There are prairie dogs everywhere.
Aww.
If you pay attention when you're driving down the road, you can look over and you can see all these prairie dogs' heads looking up out of there.
Aww.
Just looking around. And when we went through that driving thing, there was a whole bunch of them too.
Yeah.
So it is so cute to see all these little prairie dogs.
There's also buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was buffalo there. Thing.
That's my dog's nickname is Prairie Dog.
Prairie Dog.
Because she likes to sit on her hind legs and look out the door.
Mm-hmm. Ziggy does that too.
That's so cute.
Yeah, the little driving thing was cool. I think I did it like 2 or 3 times.
Oh, I didn't know there were prairie dogs.
I think I did it once with you and I did it a couple other times. With
I'm so excited. Those are one of my favorite animals. They're so cute.
Oh, there's a lot of them in that.
We'll have to go. Yeah, and it didn't cost anything to do either.
Free.
You could just drive through
it. My favorite.
I read that drive thing was once like a nuclear testing facility.
Yeah.
Oh, mutated prairie
dog. There's still like older buildings there that like they used when they were like nuclear testing sites.
Their prairie dog has two heads.
Yeah, they fixed it and put wildlife on it and stuff to bring it all back to nature.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So when we go there, we'll take some pictures of the sites where they
cute little prairie dogs.
I'm going to catch me a prairie dog. I'm going
to
get my net.
I got so many pictures of the prairie dogs. I'll have to look them up.
I'm prairie dogging.
Right.
They're so cute. They're so cute. They were playing. They would run from one hole to the next, and then jump in, and then come out of that hole and run over to another one and go. Just it looked like they were slinkies or something going from one hole to another hole. They're really cute.
And if we have time, we could go to the Molly Brown House while we're in Denver. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a really cool
place. Yeah, it was
place.
Really cool.
The unshrinkable Molly Brown.
Yeah. I liked learning about her. She's a really cool person. Mm-hmm.
We were going to go to
New
the...
New money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We were going to go to the day that you went with other friends somewhere else, my brother-in-law and sister. We were going to go to the aquarium, and then for some reason we didn't end up going.
Mm.
That would be cool to see.
I guess
they have a really nice
the Denver aquarium
garden.
For all the sea life in Denver.
Their botanical garden is supposed to be really pretty.
I'm excited for that at the Gaylord. I've been researching the plant species and stuff that they have there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have a boat ride, but I'm like, I don't want to take a boat ride through a man-made little river, but I'll walk around it and look at the plants.
Josh says that someday we're going to be walking out and we're going to go to a restaurant or something. Josh is going to be on that little boat with a little umbrella.
So, Shane, you've been there before. Do they have just a normal pool? Because they have that.
I didn't go to the pool. I don't know.
They have that water park type thing, but you have to pay extra to get into it, number one, you know. Mm-hmm. I just want a damn pool. I just want to be able to go swimming. I don't want
a hot tub. That's all I care about.
I don't want to.
What? Go die in a ditch. Every time you say you want a pool, we go out of our... Look, we always find hotels have a charging station.
I went swimming when we went to Tennessee. And Emily and I went We went two nights in a row.
And I wish you would have drowned. Because every time...
That is not true,
We have to find a hotel that has a charger for an EV. And then I have to filter for a hotel that has a pool because Kim wants a hotel with a pool.
She loves putting on that bikini and strutting through the lobby.
I die inside when we pack up our stuff to leave.
And I never made it to the pool.
Her bathing suit's bone dry.
Yes.
I'm like, what happened to that pool? Well,
see, I can't make this.
I just didn't have, you know, didn't.
Normally, that when we go do stuff like that, the only time that we really have is the last night that we're there. And then I don't want to put a wet bathing suit in my luggage.
Carry a Ziploc with you.
Well, I bought a waterproof bag to put it in, so I don't have that
excuse. So now you have no excuses. Yep. She'll find another one. No, my knee hurts.
No, I do.
Actually, it feels good on my
knee. My butthole hurts. My butthole's leaking. I can't get in the pool.
I like swimming in pools, but if there's a lot of people or children in
the
That was the one good thing about when we went to Tennessee. There was nobody in the pool. It was just Emily and I. So we had the pool to ourselves. It was so nice.
You know what really gets me going with Kim, though? We'll get into a hotel. And you know how much they charge for water at hotels?
Oh, it's so expensive.
You can go to a hotel with a number in the name, you know, like a Hotel 6, Motel, whatever.
Yeah.
Cheap hotels with numbers.
$3 for a thing of water.
This woman over here will buy water at these hotels for $3, $4 for water.
For Dasani.
Yeah. Not even spring water, trash water. Might as well just go over to the sink. She will buy that water. And do you know what she does? She will go to the room. Listeners, I want you to listen to this. This trash lady right here, she'll go to the room, take that water, and then before she opens that water, she'll go take that little ice bin, go down to the ice machine, get her some ice, come back, take the ice, put it in her cup, take that $3-4 water, open it up, and
put
it
in
that
ice.
And I look at her and I'm like, you might as well just take sink water.
Right.
What did you just do?
The ice is made from the same water.
The ice, you don't notice the chlorine taste in it. At least I don't. But if I were to get water out of the tap, then I would be able to taste it.
$3-4 I'd rather taste chlorine than get Dasani.
Hey, when you have when you live in a well, you don't drink that kind of crap, but I guess you do have a well, so.
Well.
I say how much Dasani sucks, but I swear to God, someday if Dasani approached me, Shane will give you
Love Dasani. The crisp, refreshing chemical taste.
It tastes so good. Only Dasani for me.
I'd have me a bottle right Dasani. Here next to me.
Mystery Ink.
Brought to you by Dasani.
Right underneath the name. Mystery Ink Dasani. Mm. Dasani Ink.
Hey, we all have a prize.
We all have a prize.
That's true.
To keep us off the corner.
Exactly. Pump,
some people might call us a sellout, but I got a tooth that needs fixed.
Look, health insurance ain't free in the US.
Right. I got bills that I got to pay. No. Somebody needs to be giving me some money.
I ain't above it.
She got a house breaking down.
Yeah, I got a house that's falling apart and a mower that doesn't work.
The sign of you listening?
I still think we should just start a GoFundMe page.
For what?
I don't know.
You're a leaky butthole?
I mean,
I told you that in confidence.
Josh, please save us and tell us your mystery.
What is your mystery?
Oh, heavens. There are all types of cursed things in this world. Bad yet hilarious taxidermies. I love looking up funny taxidermy photos. Hilarious. Music by Kid Rock. The underwear of straight men. And the old apartment you shared with your ex.
I feel attacked.
Kid Rock sucks. He's garbage. He's trash. He was born rich, grew up rich, and is portrayed a poor redneck, which he is not. I cannot stand him. Our stepfather listened to him relentlessly. and it makes me want to scratch my eyes out. If you listen to him, you are garbage. But I
mainly
wanted
because our
I definitely feel attacked now.
Ask me how I really feel about him.
I mainly don't like. I couldn't even tell you one song the guy sings, but I mainly don't like him because of one of our ex-stepfathers listened to him.
That helped, but
and I don't like him because of that.
With the whole he supports that Trump Pepsi. And all that other bull crap, I'm like, you were garbage.
I
then.
Like
now
his
it's
music.
Even worse.
I don't like Diet Pepsi because of the same reason. Because our ex-stepfather used to like that too. And I'm like,
yeah, that,
trash.
That one I found out more recently that he grew up very wealthy. And I'm like, I just assumed he grew up in a trailer. Like,
yeah, you know, I didn't know.
White trash. Now he grew up on like a private estate with, you know, miles of property. And
really? I didn't know that.
How hard of a life would it be?
I know. He's just like Larry the Cable Guy,
I
you know,
like
portraying
his...
a character. Yeah. I'm like, I feel lied to.
He's going to be in town. He's going to be in Wabash. Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, I was like, Kid Rock, I'm getting the eggs.
Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy is going to be at Wabash at the Honeywell Center. I want to go really bad.
He was funny when I was like 12, but that was a long time ago.
It's been a while ago.
He grew up rich. It was a hard time. I just can't imagine the hard life God put him through.
Oh, yes.
Challenge me, God.
Challenge me.
Put me through
that challenge.
Put
I'm ready
through.
For it.
I will go through the line. I will suffer with all the money you can put me in. I'm ready to do it.
The first time that I heard him speak normally, I was like, what the hell is going on?
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, it's just like you feel kind of lied to.
Yeah.
I had to look up Jeff Foxworthy to see if that was his real voice. It is. We used to watch, what was it called? It's not Mad TV, but they had like a...
BETV?
No. Larry the Cable Guy, Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, Blue Collar Comedy
there
Shores?
There we go. Yeah, I remember watching that when we were younger.
Mm-hmm. So, how often have you guys seen on the news lately about data breaches?
All the time. It happens to me all the time. My phone information just goes everywhere.
It's because you're so popular.
And I mean, it's not only our phone numbers.
My social security number is all over the place. Dark web.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yep.
Oh my God.
And they'll even take as much as your browser history.
Yeah.
And they're going to sell it to the top people that want all of your information so they can send you crap.
I mean, we get notifications in the mail and online where these companies, we're not going to name names, just all this information's breached. And so all of your information's gone.
I always reject cookies.
Oh my
and
God.
Emails, I bet you I delete 100 emails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It is stupid how much stuff that they steal
from it's people. It's all gone. I'm just so paranoid that all my information is out there and can be easily available and used.
Right. Exactly.
Open information in my name.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I found something that's going to help us.
Oh my God, what is it?
I mean, it's already helped me. I don't have to delete those emails.
God. What is it?
It's a company called Incognito.
I like
Ooh,
it. The
yes.
name is sexy. What is
my
it?
My favorite.
So it's this company. You go in, you sign up for it, you give them permission to act on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
They will send requests to all of these brokers that have taken all of your information and request that your stuff is deleted off of them.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
And it's not like a one-time thing. They put this dashboard up so you can actually watch how many requests they're sending out. And how many people are actually removing your stuff off
there. I love it.
Ooh, I bet it's like, you know, scary to see how many actually have your information.
But also satisfying. How do we find it?
So if you go to Incognito, you could get 60% off of their exclusive offer
I'm doing it right
for
now.
Your membership.
I'm downloading. I'm going there right now.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it.
I'm doing it.
I don't like deleting
Sometimes you're useful, Kim. Thank you.
I try.
We knew it would happen one of these days.
Yeah,
I'm on there
I know
now.
It's not. I know it doesn't happen often, but hey, at least I'm happy. Incognito.com.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to know about truly cursed objects and what they did to those who possessed them. Kim even covered one already with Robert the Doll. Plea, plea. The creepiest of them.
I want to go see him so bad.
So let's learn about a few more and where they are today. Our first one is big and shiny, so of course it caught my eye. It is known as the Delhi Purple Sapphire, or the Gem of Sorrow, and it is really pretty. According to legend, a British soldier stole a mysterious stone from the temple of Indra, located in Kanpur, India, during the mutiny of 1857. The stone was believed to be a purple sapphire by Colonel W. Ferris, a Bengal cavalryman.
So the British stole it?
Yes, of course they did. They stole all the jewels from India.
Josh, say it ain't so. The British stole something?
No.
From another country?
Like everything about their culture?
During an invasion?
Oh my gosh. Shocked.
Oh my gosh.
Shocked.
That's news for me. I didn't know that about history.
Well, Colonel Ferris took the sapphire from the temple and returned home to his family. And after returning to England, he faced a series of financial difficulties that almost caused his family to go bankrupt. At first, he believed that these misfortunes were the result of his own poor choices. However, when every member of his family fell ill, he began to suspect that the gem was the cause of their problems. He is then said to have given it to a close friend who then suddenly committed suicide. And in 1890, Edward Heron Allen, a scientist and writer, was given the stone, which he found out to be is the Delhi Sapphire. However, after receiving it, he became increasingly superstitious and attributed a series of unfortunate events to the curse of the stone. Then in 1902, he lent the sapphire to a friend who soon also began experiencing a string of misfortune. And the stone was returned to Heron Allen, and he too began to suffer from bad luck almost immediately again. Feeling helpless and annoyed, he threw the stone into Regent's Canal. He then thought he had finally gotten rid of the curse. However, his hopes were in vain as the sapphire had other plans. A few months later, the ring was recovered from the canal and given to a nearby jeweler. The jeweler recognized the stone as the one he had mounted on Heron Allen's ring, and he returned the ring, believing it was a kind gesture. Later, another friend asked to borrow it, and Heron Allen once again lent it out. This time, the unfortunate recipient was a professional singer who, after receiving the stone, was never able to sing again. Now hopeless, Heron Allen packed the Delhi Sapphire in several boxes filled with multiple charms. He then put it in his safe in the bank with instructions for it not to be opened until after his death. He passed away in 1944, and he had instructed the box containing the sapphire not to be opened for 33 years after he died. However, his daughter decided to dispose of the box as soon as possible and sent it to the Natural History Museum. In 1972, the sapphire was found by curator Peter Tandy in a drawer where it had been left to languish. Alongside the gemstone was a letter describing the unfortunate events that had occurred in connection with the stone. And the letter ended with the following advice: "Whoever opens this box can do whatever they want with it. However, my recommendation is to toss it into the sea." The Delhi Purple Sapphire is now permanently on display at the Natural History Museum's Vault Collection in London. Not gonna lie, if it was offered to me, I'd take it. But maybe with those nifty boxes and charms it came in. It's real pretty. Real pretty color purple. It's real big, too. Right up my alley.
When I was in England, I remember driving by the museum.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking massive. Like a city block.
I want to go so bad.
Oh, my God. I remember like driving by the building. I thought, oh, my God.
Have you ever been to the one in Chicago? The History Museum in Chicago?
Yes. I've been National History Museum, Science and Industry Museum, and the Field Museum there.
It was our
fifth grade field trip.
Oh, we went in sixth grade. Yeah, but as an adult, you haven't.
No, no.
I would love to go back up there.
Yes.
We need to go really bad. That'd be a good little trip for us to do.
Our next cursed object is a little closer to home. Today, it's kept in a storeroom of a gallery in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it is known as one of the most haunted paintings in the world, and is called The Hands Resist Him. Let's just say, if you were in a room full of paintings and someone told you to pick the one that's haunted, you'd probably pick this painting. It is creepy as hell. The painting, The Hands Resist Him, was created by Bill Stoneham in 1972. It shows a young boy and a female doll standing in front of a glass door on which many hands are pressed. The artist revealed that the boy in the painting is actually based on a photograph of himself when he was 5 years old. And the doorway in the painting symbolizes the boundary between the real world and the realm of imagination and impossibilities. The doll, on the other hand, represents a guide that will accompany the boy as he crosses that boundary, and the hands represent alternative lives or possibilities. Stoneham made his debut at a one-man show in 1974. Only one of his paintings sold at the show, which was The Hands Resist Him. And the sale marked the beginning of the painting's chilling story. Dun, dun, dun. The painting is said to be responsible for the deaths of three men who were close to the painting at the time of its first sale. The first was Henry Seldes in 1978, the art critic who wrote a review on the artist's work at his debut. According to authorities at the time, they believe Seldes committed suicide after he was found dead in his apartment shortly after the painting sold. The first owner was actor John Marley, who died in 1984 after having open-heart surgery, though he sold the painting before his death. Marley was best known for his part in the movie The Godfather. He's the one who wakes up in bed with the horse's head. I know that scene, but I've never seen that movie.
I don't think I've ever. It's
a little too butch for me.
I've never seen the movie.
After his death, the painting went missing for over two decades until it was found at the site of an old brewery by an elderly Californian couple who sold it, and it ended up on eBay in the early 2000s. So the person who sold a painting told the couple who bought it that it was cursed. They even wrote about it on the eBay sale, saying that the painting was haunted and had weird stuff going on. Apparently, sometimes the characters in the painting would move around at night and are even said to occasionally leave the painting to come into the room they're in. The listing included a set of photographs that were present as proof of an incident where the female doll character had allegedly threatened the male character with a gun. This act is said to have caused the male character to try to leave the painting. And the seller had also included a disclaimer with the listing that absolved them of any responsibility or liability that may arise if the painting was purchased. It received 30 bids and was sold to Perception Gallery in Grand Rapids, Michigan for $1,025. They also contacted Bill Stoneham and shared the unusual story of its auction on eBay and their acquisition of it. The artist mentioned that he was greatly surprised by the various stories and unusual interpretations of the images in the painting. As per the artist, the object, which was believed to be a gun by the eBay sellers, is in reality just a D-cell battery in a cluster of wires. And there are even multiple sequels to the painting that the artist painted more recently, and they're just as haunting to look at, too. Many people experienced unexplained physical sensations after viewing the original painting. One eBay buyer claimed that he fainted at the sight of the painting, while another said she felt like her throat was being tightened by an external grip.
Ooh.
It's a very creepy painting. And just looking at it, like the longer you look at it, you start to believe that like the hands are moving behind the glass door and... just so creepy. The doll's face is creepy. The sequel paintings I looked up, and the original one's him as a boy with the doll. And then the second one is in the future, it's the same painting, but it's the boy has now grown into an old man, and the doll has become this like faceless humanoid type robot looking thing with its face off, and there's more hands, and very creepy. A buyer also said that his monitor went white and emitted a blast of heat as soon as he looked at the painting. He also started crying for no reason. And someone else heard an exorcist-type voice, and another reported a new printer that ate and mutilated page after page when the user tried to download the image of the painting to print. People also mentioned difficulty breathing, becoming ill, or general discomfort, while some parents said that their children grew unruly and started to scream at the sight of the painting. That's how scary it is. It makes kids scream. Whether or not you believe in cursed objects, you can buy your very own on our website. It's MrInk.com, where you can own your very own pair of Kim's cursed panties.
My BVDs. Yeah,
big old BVDs. Big old silky bloomers. And my bless your heart this week comes from Cleveland, Ohio, where a 62-year-old veteran saved a baby from a burning house.
Wow.
John Stickovic was on his way to work on the morning of Monday, May 13th, just a few weeks ago, when he drove past a house on fire with a mom and her baby sitting on the grass. John went up to make sure they were okay, but the mother quickly informed him that her children were twins and she was only able to get one out before the flames stopped her. John said he quickly thought, "Oh God, I have to save that baby. That baby is not dying today," before he ran to the side door of the house and kicked it in. Starting to give me goosebumps. The smoke and flames were too heavy for him to see, so he began to crawl on the floor through the kitchen until he reached the baby gate, where the mom said the baby was seen last. John said, "It was getting bad in there. I was getting ready to leave when suddenly the baby began crying." He then said he reached his hand forward into the smoke until he felt the child's leg. He then grabbed it, and both he and the baby got out safely.
Aww.
That's cool.
Oh.
According to the fire department.
Give me cold chills.
I know. Look at my legs. I got goose pimples. According to the fire department, John is the sole reason that child survived the fire. The mother, her children, and John were then taken to the hospital to be treated for smoke inhalation. All of them are expected to make a full physical recovery. John Stickovic, bless your heart, sir. Thank you for stopping to help and for saving that baby. That would have been an incredibly scary decision to make on the spot, and you truly are an inspiration.
Oh, yeah, that's really good. Sweet.
Yeah. It's like something out of a movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can remember one time as a kid, we were going somewhere. I don't remember where we were going. It was down the road from Uncle Lynn's house to Muncie. It was on that road. Mm-hmm. And it was dark. And it was my grandparents and my uncle and I, and we had come off of 3 and turned on that road. And there was a trailer, single wide trailer, that used to sit there, and it was on fire.
Oh, yeah.
And it had just started. And my grandpa caught a glimpse of it out of the corner of his eye, and he slammed on the brakes and put it in park and ran up and said, "Hey, you guys got a fire. You need to get out of here." And they were able to get out, and they grabbed a hold of a hose and they put it out. It was a water heater or something had caught in fire. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Our bus driver did that when we were in elementary school, 4th and 5th grade. We were just down the road from our school. Like, he had picked up everybody pretty much, and he was taking us there in the morning, and he stopped at a stop sign, and right next to it, when he noticed a house had caught on fire, it was like towards the back, and he put that bus in park and got out and, you know, tried banging on the door, but there were still an older woman. She was still asleep, and he finally like got her to wake up, and she was asleep. She had no idea. Mm-hmm. The house was on fire. He got her out, and just in time, thank God.
Grandpa, he saved a child once from drowning, too. We were in Tennessee, and some kid had jumped in. He wasn't very old, 5 maybe. He jumped in the deep part, and they weren't paying a whole lot of attention to him. And Grandpa was standing there, and he's like, he's not coming up. And he went in and went to the bottom and got him.
See, that's one thing I'm iffy about is saving anybody drowning, because Hitler almost drowned as a child, and he was saved. Mm. And I'm like, bet that guy kicked himself in the ass later on in life. I believe it was a priest that saved him, too.
Yeah, unfortunately, you don't know whether that's gonna, right. You know, that's going to happen or not.
I always think about that. I'm like, my God, if that guy, you know, saved a child who later went on to be one of the worst killers in history.
But you also don't know if they'll cure cancer or something.
That's true. Too.
But do you remember the pool that was by Grandma's house? There's a park and a cemetery by Grandma's house.
That girl with her...
Yeah, the hair that...
I've never been in that pool. I never will.
No, our grandma and mom never let us go there because there was a girl that was swimming in the pool and her hair got sucked into the... Like she was, you know, swimming in the bottom. Her hair got sucked at the bottom into the filter and she couldn't get out of it and she drowned.
Her. It like ripped her scalp off.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Anytime I drive by it, I look, I'm like, and people have no idea. No. They're just swimming in there.
There's still people in it.
That haunted ass
pool. Oh, the pool's still open?
Oh, yeah. Right there off State Road 9 in Alec.
Our grandma and mom would never let us go.
No.
Any of the public pools that was close to me when I was a kid, they're no longer in business.
You mean the pee pools?
Yeah, I don't think I've never been to a public pool. That's just not something
I have been very few times.
I'll go to a reservoir, but I ain't going to.
There used to be one.
Might as well swim in a urinal.
Right.
There used to be one right outside of Selma and on closer towards Muncie. And I went there quite a few times as a kid. The neighbors, they would always go and I'd go with them. But I think I went to Portland maybe once. I think that's the only times I've ever been.
What else you got for us, Josh?
She won't drink water out of the tap, but she'll swim and pee.
Doesn't bother her at
all. It was just a pool.
She'll stay at motels.
Motel, hotel, Holiday Inn.
Oh, man. Some of the places I've stayed at has been ridiculous.
I think the worst hotel I've ever stayed at was the Knights Inn in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, when we were younger. It's not there anymore. But, like, Shay and I were young, and we go out to the pool, and it's a swamp. It's got, like, frogs in it and cattails growing out of it, and our aunt sits on her mattress, and a spring pops up, and she's real diabetic, too, so we had to go to the ER. We'll mark your calendars for July 12th through the 14th, because we're headed to the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival in Denver, Colorado. Don't miss out. Get your tickets at truecrimepodcastfestival.com for an unforgettable experience. Use the code MYSTERY15 at checkout to save 15% off your ticket, and we hope to see you there and tell them Mystery Inc. sent you, or else. And we want to give a big shout out to our amazing patrons. You guys are the best, and we couldn't do this without your support. We hope you all are enjoying our podcast and are looking forward to more exciting episodes in the future and plenty of banter. I ain't bitter. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram or join us on Patreon to listen to our bonus episodes of Unmasked that we release right after our regular ones. You can find us on both platforms under the username at It's Mystery Inc. And don't forget to join us on Facebook at Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole. And check out our website, itsmysteryinc.com, where you can buy our little crystal dicks, our Amazonite necklaces, Kim's BVDs, and we have tumblers, coffee cups, and t-shirts. Oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my. Oh my. If you have any ideas for mysteries, positive news, foolish criminals, or something that made you say shit fire that you would like to share with us, please leave it on our website. And join us on Unmasked to learn about something else that is cursed, but not a physical object. In all honesty, it should be given to me because I am probably the one person in the world who would never use it. Thank you all for joining us today, and bless your heart.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.